Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is your life different because you confess faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, on this patriotic weekend, we come before your throne of grace. We make confession of our sins. For while we rejoice in our freedom, we have turned our freedom into license. We trust our own selves and do not look to you. We seek guidance from those experts in the various fields, while ignoring you, who alone has the infinite insight to direct us. God in heaven, we pray that the hymn may be our prayer this day. God bless our native land, firm may it ever stand, through storm and night. When the wild tempests rage, ruler of wind and wave, do thou our country save by thy great might. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of James. It begins with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, as we consider our series of seven sermons on the pruning knife, God today focuses our attention on the subject of faith. You might say, faith? Isn't that a done deal? You either believe or you don't believe, isn't that right? Hardly. I think that we can take a great lesson from a man who brought his sick child to Jesus one day, and Jesus conversed with him, and the man said during the course of that conversation, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Faith is something that continues to grow, and if there's any part of our Christian life and walk that needs to be pruned. It is this whole matter of faith. So in our text today, James is reminding us that God has to go to work on those twigs that sometimes have our lives and our faith completely confused. First, let's start in by saying that the Bible clearly teaches, and there is no confusion about this, that our salvation, that is our reconciliation with God, comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the basic teaching of the Christian faith. Notice the passages. Jesus, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus taught. There is no signs of any kind of works there at all. The robber on the cross had done nothing that would cause him to enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet to that person, because of grace, and he trusted in Jesus as his Savior, the Lord turned and said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Or St. Paul, writing to the congregation at Ephesus, uttered these words, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a free gift from God. Now that can be very confusing. And maybe it is quite confusing to some of you who listen to me today. You may say, there is no free lunch. How can there be a salvation when I don't contribute anything? Are you telling me that I can go out and live like the very old devil? And at the last moment of my life, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and enter the kingdom of heaven? Hear what St. Paul says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. There it is. Salvation is free, and it comes by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Well, sometimes we go so far that we say, well, maybe that's the way you interpret it, but I think we ought to throw in a few good works too. So we come up, and many church people, many great believers in Christ Jesus will say, I'm not sure about my salvation. And the reason is they have developed a theology that is unknown in the scriptures, but makes them feel good that faith plus my good works will really put me in good standing with Jesus Christ. The problem with that is that we never can do enough good works. I was a sophomore in college, studying for the ministry, and I believed with all my heart that Jesus Christ was my Savior and that he had died for me. But somehow or other, there was a twig that got in there on my vine. And that twig says, but you have to do this and you have to do that, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And try as hard as I could, there were those times when I could not keep these self-made laws that I had. So I had no real peace of mind. I had no assurance of my salvation until one day Dr. Theodore Grebner of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod came to our campus and spoke to a group of pastors. And he clearly said to them, my brothers in the ministry, please tell the people that Jesus Christ has done it all. Don't be like ivory snow that says it's 99.44% pure. Tell them that Jesus Christ did not do 99.44% but tell them that Jesus Christ did it all. As a young man in my early 20s, I could feel the guilt leave me Once more, I was at peace, peace with God, because Jesus had done it all. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Well, now James today confronts us with a very pragmatic and knotty question. What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? This James, you know, is the half-brother of our Lord, and he's the head of the church in Jerusalem. The church is somewhere around 20 years old, and James is frustrated with the people who are a part of this church. Yeah, they trusted in Jesus Christ. He could stop them, and he could say to them, do you really have faith in my brother? Or more than that, do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who on Calvary's cross paid the price for your sins? And they would answer him, yes. But then he'd take a look at their lives and he would say to them, but you give no evidence of it. And maybe somebody said, well, we're saved by faith alone, aren't we? We got rid of the law, didn't we? And James in this letter is simply trying to clear this confusion that faith, when it is truly faith, reveals itself in action. He goes on and gives them a picture of a brother or a sister without food and clothing. And they come and say, could you help us out? We're hungry. It's winter time and we're cold. Your closets are full of clothing and your pantries are full of food, but you give them neither. Rather, you probably put your arms on their shoulder and smile into their face and say, I wish I could, but things are rather tight, you know. I wish you well, but you do nothing to help the physical needs. James says, you say about it what you want to, that faith is dead. Then he goes on to say, let me tell you about faith. Faith is a quality. And he takes those Jewish Christians who are there in Jerusalem and he says, let's go back to our father Abraham. Abraham had a son whom he really loved. His name was Isaac. And God was going to test his faith. You know, God does that. That's a pruning stick. He said to Abraham, take Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah, and there you offer him to me. Hardest thing, obviously, that Abraham ever did. There was 3 days of walking, and finally when they got to the top, Abraham said to the servants, you stay here while my son and I go elsewhere. And he walked on a bit further. As they were walking along and they had the wood, Isaac said to his father, Father, we have the wood, and I know you'll build the altar, but where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham in faith says, my son, God will provide. And so they got to this particular spot, and they built an altar. They arranged the wood, and then Abraham takes Isaac and binds him and lays him on the wood. Then he took out his knife and was about to kill him when the angel said, Abraham, don't harm the lad. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me. And James says, that's faith. Faith reveals itself. Faith changes our behavior. Faith motivates us. Faith is not just intellectual assent to a few biblical teachings we have learned along the way, blessed as they are. Faith is trusting God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is never perfect. That's why the pruning knife always has to be out, to take that away which we think has something to do with our faith. There are many twigs regarding our faith that have to be cut off. We get misinformed. Sometimes our emotions get the best of us and we say, well, if you only had faith, this thing would happen. That's a twig that has to be pruned. Faith is simply trusting Jesus Christ with all that we have. Christ, whom I have received in faith, gains greater control day by day. Well, you have a right to ask the question, where do we stand in this eternal question that people who are interested in a relationship with God continue to debate? Is the Bible so confusing on its primary subject? No, it isn't. It is clear that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We contribute nothing. And James is not saying we should contribute anything. But that faith which has been created there by the Holy Spirit is the faith that has to grow. And as it grows, it reveals itself. Paul and James are speaking to two different types of people. And so do I, I'm sure, today. If you listen to this broadcast and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, then let me say to you, your salvation, that is your reconciliation to God, can become yours simply by confessing your sins and placing your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's how you become a Christian. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are a believer and you have walked with the Lord Jesus for some time, however long it might be, He has another word for you. Now we're going to grow up in that faith. And what is that faith going to do? It is going to change our language, our behavior, attitude, priorities. People are going to begin to see that this man or woman not only says, I believe in Jesus Christ, but it's evident in his or her life. Here comes the pruning knife. If we have a wrong understanding of faith, he's going to chop it off, that we can have a stronger faith, and that faith will bear fruit. It's in the little things that you see the fruit. Yesterday, I was in a doctor's office, and here were two members from the church that I once served. The one is an elderly man who has had a very, very severe illness. Can't drive a car. But with him was a middle-aged man of our church. He watches over him. He took him to the doctor's office. He loves him. See, that younger man trusts the Lord Jesus. And Christ says, help your older brother. That's faith. And that's how life goes on. That's how faith and works are related. Amen.
Behold, I serve you.
Holy Spirit, we pray that today there might have been someone who came to faith in Jesus Christ because you created that faith through the preaching of the Word. We also pray today that those of us who have been blessed by walking in a relationship with you through the years might understand that there's pruning that has to be done. Where our faith has not been shown by the way that we live, either by the things that we do that we shouldn't have done, or what we have left undone that we should have done, grant, O God, that we may see that you have to continue to work in us until people may see that it is not only that we say Christ is our Savior, but we may reveal him as our Lord. In his name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Reverend Dr. Larson's The Pruning series will continue next week. God prunes and polishes the lives of his children so that he may present us as witnesses in the best way possible. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. We thank our listeners for your continued financial support. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in our 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.